Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the first Mental Manager podcast for 2021. I'm Andrew, and I'm joined again by my friends Silke and Martin today for an episode that we're equally excited for and saddened to bring to you. We're deeply saddened to share the news of the passing of our great friend and colleague, Jim Harvey, who passed away last week after a battle with cancer. Jim was a stand-up guy who always had time to share his wisdom and help and encourage anyone who was around him. And Jim was a great supporter of the Mental Manager podcast. And to that end, the three of us will keep his memory really close to our hearts as we continue our podcast adventure this year. We're excited to bring you this podcast, which is very topical at this time of year. What are your goals, aspirations, and resolutions for the year ahead? It's a big question, I know, but let's start with our traditional mental health check. Martin, it's great to connect with you again. Hello, good morning. How are you on our mental health scale from 1 to 5 today?
Good morning, Andrew. And likewise, happy, so happy to and thrilled to connect with you guys again. So on a scale from 1 to 5, obviously what you just mentioned last week affected me quite a lot. I am building up again, so a good 4 and aim to be on 5 when we are done with today's recording. And Silke, welcome to you as well. How are you doing on a scale from 1 to 5?
Thank you very much. Well, very much like yourself, I'm deeply saddened about Jim's passing. So that definitely has an effect. At the same time, so I've been away from work really for over 2 months now. I had a baby in between and not very much sleep. So last night was actually a pretty good night for me in terms of sleep. All the partying years in my 20s definitely prepared me for this. So that's a really good payoff here. And I would say all in all, I'm around a 4 definitely. And with another good night's sleep, I'll be a solid 5. And Andrew, thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. I'm equally excited as both of you are to be back here and actually slightly nervous because we haven't done this in a while. And hopefully we'll be able to be more consistent this year. Andrew, how are you today?
Good morning. And I'm the same, but this is going to be just like riding a bike, guys. I'm sure once we get our rhythm going, it's going to be great. Awesome to connect with you guys again. Same as you guys, the news of our friend Jim last week really took the wind out of my sails a little bit. And it's taken me a little while to bounce back from that. However, there's a lot on my plate to be excited and to look forward to for the year as well. It's been a holiday here today in Australia, so it's been nice to kick back and have a few beers with some friends. And tomorrow is my eldest's first day at kindergarten. So there's sort of a little air of trepidation and perhaps a little bit of anxiety across the household as we prepare for that tonight. But all in all, very excited for him and for more broadly the year ahead. And I think that is a good segue for our topic today. And we're here to talk about goals and aspirations and resolutions and reviews. And I know that you, Martin and Silke, have spent a good amount of time reviewing the year that was 2020 and also looking forward into 2021 with some initiatives and goals. So let's start the conversation. Silke, I want to ask you a little bit about your 2020 year in review, what that process looked like and what did you learn?
Definitely. Yeah, no, love to dive into that. Before I do, I've got to say I'm insanely jealous that your son is going to go to kindergarten because in the COVID-19 area, that's a long way away for my daughter. And she's built up all of these horse personalities that you never know which horse she is portraying at that moment. And she yells at you when you don't get it right. So it's exciting times also there in the household. So I don't mean to
rub it in your face for sure. When your daughter starts kindergarten, we can have another celebration.
Yes. No. So back to the past year review. So in the past, what I've always done is, you know, to kind of look forward and to think about what do I want to achieve this year and where do I want to go and spend a lot of time doing that, which then typically ended up in very long to-do lists where I had zero chance of ever accomplishing, you know, even 50% of that, meaning that I tended to be in a situation where I didn't feel like I've accomplished what I wanted to in the year, and possibly even, you know, felt quite overwhelmed with everything that I wanted to do. So I think it was during a Tim Ferriss Show podcast or a blog article. I'm not sure. There's definitely a blog article where he explained his process, which is essentially a process of a past year review. I'll also link to his blog article in our show notes if anyone would like to also go through this process, which I found hugely helpful. It's really simple. You just take all of the different calendars that you may have, your work calendar, your personal calendar, your family calendar, whatever you've got, or actually could use diary notes or whatever. So anything that allows you to review the past year. And then you create two lists. One is called positive, the other one is called negative. And very factually, you just take every event that happened and write it down to one of these two columns. And I did that per month so that I know exactly January, February, and so on. And then also what I've done, aside from putting down the facts as to, you know, I don't know, COVID cut short my business trip to Australia that was supposed to be in March for 10 days to, I think I was there for 3 days, which was interesting. Can't recommend short trips like that. A little bit too long. And I didn't get to see you, Andrew, because I think you were in quarantine, weren't you? Had to isolate.
Yeah, we were ships in the night. I was coming back from the US and you were coming in from Germany and we were meant to catch up, and then you had to scuttle home very quickly to avoid locked in our country for the rest of forever.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, absolutely. So that was interesting. And so what I've also done is I've tried to recall the emotions connected to that and sort of the energy levels that went with all of these different events, and also kind of categorize that. So I went through all of that very thoroughly, and what it ended up being, and that was very interesting to me, is when I just looked at all of those lists and looked at the general themes, I would say, that kind of when on throughout the year and were kind of the same things every week or every month or so, I could definitely see that, first of all, the first learning I had was I've had, just looking at the facts, last year was top. You know, I had a massively positive year. It was excellent because the list of positive things was just so much longer than the negative things. However, when I try to recall my, I guess, energy levels and the emotions that went with all of that, and thinking back of the last year, I can't say that I felt like it was massively positive. Obviously, there's so much to be grateful for, and I am very grateful for a lot of the things that were happening. Like, you know, I had a lot of support from the family, and which was particularly helpful in lockdown when things at work went a little crazy for a while, and we were all working around the clock. I did not have the opportunity to handle childcare at that moment. So, you know, my parents stepped in. That was very much appreciated and things like that. But at the same time, I guess my hormone levels at the time wouldn't have helped because I was quite pregnant for most of 2020. And it just ended up being, in my emotional review, if that makes sense, I just felt like for most of the year, I got up, I started working, I worked for most of the day. Then I saw my daughter for like 5 minutes, had no energy to do anything, and was in bed by 8 o'clock. And then, you know, repeat the next day. So that was how it felt to me. But so that was an interesting lesson to see that actually, no, there was a lot more stuff that was really good. And it helped to remember that, I guess.
Can I ask? I've got a lot of questions about this. And so firstly, I'm very enamored and impressed when people take the effort to do a review process like this, because I think sometimes it's very easy to either forget or neglect or even be a little hesitant to do so because we're always so focused on looking forward rather than looking back. And you guys, we both know in the organization we work for, anytime we do a review, it's always sort of one slide on the past and three slides on the future in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, what we should be doing. And I really like this because it kind of flips that on its head. But I got a couple of questions. How long did this process take you when you sort of sat down and pulled all of this apart? Because it sounds arduous.
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie, it was. So I think it probably took me, I wasn't able to do it all in one chunk because I, you know, obviously now with a baby and everything, that takes a little bit of time. I would say, all in all, had I done it in one go, probably, I'm going to say 4 or 5 hours. So it does take a lot of time. Okay. So I did that across 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I think obviously a really worthy use of your time by the sounds of it. Mm. So going to what you were sort of mentioning towards the end is you've got this sort of super long list of positive, great things that happened. And then you've got what sounds like a much shorter list of mm-hmm. negative or unhappy things. But then at the end of it all, it sounds like you feel like you had perhaps kind of like it all balanced out and it was kind of like a neutral or slightly better than neutral year. I might be interpreting that wrong, but it mm-hmm. sounds like if you had a list of 30 awesome things that happened and a list of 10 terrible or sad or disappointing things that happened, is that it wasn't like you were saying that you had a 3 times awesome year. You weren't 3 times happier than you were sad or disappointed or upset. I always think when I look back is that it's very difficult for me to remember the emotion attached to a certain item unless it was a massive thing that was happening. Is that what you found? You were sort of saying you could kind of like on paper these great things happened, but I can't really remember how awesome or terrible I felt about them. But then the ones that were super significant, I did. Is that how you felt?
So I didn't really think about it in those terms, but now that you're asking, I would say that I've got the opposite problem. On all of the amazing things that happened, all of the things, obviously the things that I'm grateful for, I'm always grateful for. But for example, I don't know, barbecue with friends, which is obviously a great thing to be doing. I wouldn't remember, you know, how I felt that evening, aside from probably very exhausted and not really able to pay much attention to anything around me. So that's how I would have felt about it, even though the event itself would have been very positive. But that's kind of the emotion around it. But then on the negative side, I can very vividly recall how I felt a lot of those times. You know, we went through some really difficult times and difficult things decisions that we had to make in the business as well. So that really took a toll on me. So I've done a lot of journaling around, you know, what can I learn from all of this? Because the advice that Tim Ferriss is giving is essentially look at the top 20% of the things that gave you energy and that you found to be very positive, and then schedule a lot of that into your next year so that you can kind of manage those positive energy events, and look at the top 20% of the things that affected you negatively and try to remove them. Now, with me, what I've found is that I can see that I come back to the same pattern that is not very good for me and that I'm very aware of, and that happened, or that kind of caught me out last year as well. And that's basically, I've got a lack of boundaries. And what's more importantly, so I've got a lack of a willingness to protect my boundaries and priorities. And I'll explain a little bit what that means. I mean that on paper, I obviously know that my first priority is family. Second priority is, I don't know, my relationship or myself or my friends or all of the things that you should be saying. I know that intellectually. But when I look at my behavior, I canceled a lot of my holidays. I worked very often during my holidays, during weekends. I did not stop working when I was supposed to work, when I was supposed to stop working to spend time, you know, having dinner with the family and so on. So my behavior is telling me a different story. And my behavior is very much automated because I kind of feel like, no, this is more important at that moment. It's not a conscious decision that I make, but it's more like, okay, this is important today, so I have to pay attention to this today. So that's something, number one, that I kind of figured out. And then the second piece is that I'm still allowing external factors, so external circumstances, whether that is COVID-related or someone is voicing criticism about a decision that I'm making at work or in my personal life or something that isn't meant to be a personal criticism, but more about, you know, the subject or something, that I really take that too hard, far too much. And those external factors really affect my well-being. And yeah, so those are the two interesting things that I've figured out and that I definitely want to work on this year. So that's really, I guess, the main outcome, which I find very positive. because I've found a few things to be truthful based on that, and kind of figured out what are the things that I want to pay attention to this year, if that makes sense. So that was a very long answer.
Oh, I like it. It's I find it fascinating. Thank you for sharing it. It's probably a dark rabbit hole to tumble down right now that we can't, in terms of talking about, you know, how do you start picking apart those things and taking those negative things off of the calendar and making sure that they don't happen. Perhaps that's a good exercise for us over the next few weeks and months to keep checking back in to see how we're doing with that. But no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that, Silke.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found that with, for example, with the lack of boundaries or the fact that, you know, I choose work over holidays, or I have in the past, that there were many, many good reasons at the time why I thought that was the right decision. But I found that there are a number of underlying factors that have contributed to automating that kind of behavior over years and years. So I've decided for this year that instead of setting myself a new year resolution or material goals and something to achieve, I'm going to embark on a journey, if you will, and commit to learn and implement some tools and techniques and supporting habits that will allow me to address those challenges. And hopefully, this is the overall goal for me, which I'm doubtful I will ever get to, but it would be wonderful if I could feel just sort of the same energy level at all times, rather than, you know, spending it all in one place and then coming home, or the other way around and got nothing left. So that's the dream. It's the dream I'm chasing.
To put it down on paper, so let's make that dream a reality.
Yeah, let's do that.
A lot of what you've just said resonates really strongly with me as well. So I'm sure it's not just you as well. And maybe there's some comfort in that too.
I'm holding myself accountable by hopefully being able to give a little update in the following episodes of The Mental Manager on kind of this journey and how it's going. And I've actually started on my first endeavor. I'm taking this online class. I mean, everything's online these days, but I'm taking this online course with, I think he's a former monk. His name is Dandapani. I think I've talked about him in one of our previous episodes. He's all about kind of controlling the mind, controlling your energy, and shifting awareness and so on. So I'm attempting to learn how to do that a little bit better. So I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. Maybe a link to that program as well in our show notes would be great.
I'll definitely do that. So, and, you know, I've talked a lot now, but Martin, you've kind of gone through the same Tim Ferriss show inspired process. And we've talked a little bit about it before, but I think you've kind of done it in a little bit of a different way than I have. Could you share how you've gone through that and what you found out?
Yeah, I sure can. Yes, I did it in a slightly other way. So one of the things that I did was, I reviewed all of my notes, and I reviewed my time to find out how I used it at work and also outside of work. And I used time in the beginning of this year to delete a lot of notes that I didn't find useful, to sort of have them more concentrated, because there's, when you write a lot, you will find that a lot of this is not really useful after some time. It makes sense to you when you write it, but maybe the day after or even now, it doesn't make sense at all. So I've deleted a lot, so to keep all of the most important things. And then I've built my to-do lists, my notes, and my archive in the same format. And the structure that I use for it is, I'll just find it so I can give you, is four overall sections. One called private, one called mental manager, one called work, and one called a personal business plan. And then I've subcategorized below those four. So whenever I have a to-do, whether it's in my personal life or at work, then I have a to-do list that is structured the way that I just put forward. When I'm done with it, with the to-do, if it's a note that I want to keep, I move it into my notes section. And if it's a document or video, whatever, picture, then I move it into my archive. In that way, I can keep a lot more structured way of memorizing thing. And I also, I think I raise the chance of also being able to find it again the day that I that I do want to do that. So one of the things that I learned from it was obviously this system, but also that I found that I've actually built a lot of good processes last year. Some of them I just need to lower the bar a bit to continue. For instance, daily exercising. I started out, or during last year, I had a system of doing 5 times 25 repetitions daily. I haven't kept that. So I'm redoing it now, but just with a lower amount of reps. And in that way, I could actually start it again. I found that doing this review, I actually didn't have to make up new goals. I just have to adjust what I was already doing. So that was a big learning for me.
Nice. That means it's really more about systems rather than goals, yes, if you will. When you talk about all of those notes, do you keep them electronically or do you have them, I don't know, massive piles of paper lying around somewhere?
No, electronically. And a reason for doing that is then I can take notes when I feel like it on my phone, for instance. It's actually a good question because one of the things that I do think a lot of is how do I make it as easy as possible? So notes taking, I prefer, and the process is more functional if you write in hand, mm-hmm, but it's not very practical in terms of carrying your notebook when you travel or when you go somewhere. You just need to be able to write whatever that you want to. So I do it electronically. And I think of the same in terms of exercise, that I'm very fond about the thought of buying a subscription to a local fitness center. Mm-hmm. But I also know that then I would have to take out time to actually go there, and mm-hmm, I would have a monthly subscription that I would need to pay. And actually just doing exercises on the floor is mm-hmm free, and I can do it right now.
Yeah.
That's true. It's actually easier and it doesn't cost me anything to do that.
I find that interesting because I tried taking notes electronically and I still, I don't know, it's slightly embarrassing to say, but whenever I go, even on a business trip, I carry with me a massive amount of notes, all handwritten, because it just feels much better to do that, but it's so impractical. And then you can't find something when you need it. And I've got notes with all of my business to-dos and then my personal to-dos and my thoughts and all of that. So do you have a particular system that you use for keeping those notes? So I don't know, do you use Evernote or something like that?
That's actually also related to what I just said. I looked into Evernote because I saw that recommended many places. And then again, I found that I would probably end up needing the subscription. So again, a paid thing. And if I need my notes for the rest of my life, which is the starting point, then I was also looking to a fairly large amount of money that I would need to pay to keep the notes for the rest of my life. So to start with, I'm just using Apple's free note and just learned myself to stick to that, even though I do know that Evernote is a lot broader and deeper, and you have a lot more opportunities, I think. So for now, I try to stick with free solutions.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I think I'm a bit of a subscription junkie. I got a subscription no longer to my local gym because same issue, but I do have a subscription to Evernote, and I would say I use about 1% of the functionality, and I've had it for years. Because exactly to your point, I don't want to lose all of my old notes. Yes. And to then take time and convert them to something else, it's just not something that I've done so far, but maybe something to look into. Interesting. Yes. I really like the approach that you've got on looking at systems instead of goals. It's kind of the theory of making one decision that will eliminate 1,000 other decisions, right?
Yes. And then think of keep lowering the bar until you can be persistent on whatever that you would like to achieve. And that's something that I keep challenging myself on, and often find that's actually the reason for not being able to stick to them. They are often too ambitious. So just keep lowering it, even though it's maybe a ridiculous low number of reps that you do for physical exercise. But if you can't stick to it, then it's too high.
It's a very good point. And something else that I'm definitely guilty of, you know, with my 200 item to-do lists, and I should probably look into that as well. Definitely.
That's sort of the system that I've been working through, and I found it super useful. So now it's all about sticking to it. And one of the things that we'll do in the next episode is actually review how we are doing. But that was Silke and me doing a yearly review. So now I'm curious to learn from you, Andrew. What have you been doing, and what are your thoughts on approaching 2021?
I was just having an internal laugh listening to you guys, because you both have clearly got a very focused mindset here around reviewing and looking back. And also what got me giggling on the inside was the fact that, you know, Martin, your biggest challenge here is sort of systemizing the way that you put notes together. Silke, your biggest challenge was sort of finding the time to do the review, but you did it. My biggest challenge is just doing it in the first place. You know, I don't have a system to put notes into because I just don't have enough notes, right? And maybe that's part of what I need to improve on in myself. But yeah, as I've been thinking about this, I think it's really very common at this time of year for a lot of folk to be kind of thinking about the year ahead and potentially fall into the hallmark trap, I will say, of setting New Year's resolutions and goals just because, you know, the year clicked over into the new year. And I was thinking, you know, resolutions, trying to look back, they seem almost like a 90s fad now, as, you know, New Year's resolutions. But I did a bit of reading, you know, something like 80% of anybody who's ever made a New Year's resolution has failed by February the 6th, I think is the magic date. And I was wondering why that was. And turns out that if you want to set a goal that is going to really rely on you changing behavior in order to meet that goal, any new adaptation of a behavioral change takes months and months of time to implement and take effect in your life, right? So you set short-term goals or even long-term goals without any plan on how to implement said goals. You're almost destined for failure. And so rather than go ahead and set a bunch of kind of short, medium, long-term goals for myself this year, I have been sort of thinking a lot more about the present. And I think this ties in a little bit to what you were just speaking about, Martin, is that it's very, very easy, I think, to get lost, or it is for me anyway, to get lost in the day-to-day, get lost in trying to find the right perspective, so trying to look too far forward, or trying to do too much deep analysis into the past when dealing with whatever's happening on a day-to-day basis. So my mantra for myself this year, when I reflect back and think, what do I need to do, is around being more present in the moment. And I can really relate to that both on a personal front and on the business front. And so when I think about it, I'm sure everybody who's listening has a lot of competing priorities. And then quite often the small moments that can be those little nuggets of joy or gold on a daily basis, even at home, can often get consumed by the bigger things, right? So, Silke, you know, you're working during your holidays, right? And you're taking that last call, or you're writing that last brief or paper or whatever when you should be doing something else. Is, to me, I find myself doing the same thing. And the really sad thing about that for me is that I wonder what is the opportunity cost of that sort of behavior, right? What does it really matter in the big scheme of things, right? Is, will you remember back to that amazing PowerPoint that you polished at, you know, 11:30 p.m. on the third night of your holiday because you just couldn't stop thinking about it? Or could you think back and think of all of the great memories that you and your family were making during that holiday to, you know, properly refresh and recharge? So I think being present at home is obviously, you know, a massive goal of mine, and that's not really something that you can quantify. But some of the techniques that I've been thinking about have been ensure that I continue to make mindfulness a practice and part of my daily routine. Listen to my body. So I don't know if you remember back to our conversation we had with Alyssa from Minds Well Fed last year, recontacted her and already sort of looked to modify the way that I'm living from a nutrition perspective and really being aware of what's happening in my body and therefore in my mind. And really my note here says, you know, listen with all of your body, right, rather than just your ears. And I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but I sort of self-proclaim that I have a really good gut instinct or a good gut feel or a good judge of character outside of what you're hearing through your ears, and so I'm choosing to put a lot more weight into my initial gut feel on situations both at home and at work, because often what I find is I won't, and then I'll go through all of the heartache and I guess review and rigmarole of trying to cover off every possible angle and end up in having the same conclusion as I would have if I had just listened to my gut feel, right? So that's a big one. And then sort of tying over into the workspace a little more specifically is this idea of combining being present with being inclusive. You know, I had a lot of challenges from a business perspective as my team expanded and my territory expanded and I had new cultures and new geographies to cover and that sort of thing last year. And I think I found myself naturally opting for the safe option too often with the way that I think about things and the type of questions that I might ask. And so, again, I think listening with more than just my ears are going to be super important, and being okay not knowing the answers is the other aspect. So there's a different, I think, perspective on this whole topic from you guys. I really love hearing about your year in review, and I think you've inspired me to do my own version of that, whatever that might look like anyway, because I think that would be wildly useful for me. But they're the topics that I've been thinking about. I'm not sure if that makes sense to you.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And the presence thing fixes a lot of other issues and even remove them. It takes care of anxiety. It takes care of depression. Those are either past or future related. So being present, then you can't be none of the two others. So to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Definitely. And I love that comment that you've just made, Martin. So true that it just removes everything. It removes a lot of the other issues. And one thing that crossed my mind, Andrew, when you mentioned about the being present, definitely resonates. And what I've in one of those situations, for example, you know, you're on holiday, you're supposed to be present with your family, but at the same time, you want to finish off that PowerPoint at 11:30 at night. Or in my case, it's 7:30 because by 8 o'clock, I'm out like a light, or I was last year. And then what I found is that you're trying to be present with whatever you're choosing to do in that moment, but you're not really with a PowerPoint because you're feeling guilty and you're just consumed by guilt at the same time of trying to do something. And that I'm sure is going to slow you down as well. So I like that. And the intuition part completely resonates with me. It's I would say I've got great intuition. I just choose to ignore it 99% of the time. So that's definitely something I want to get better at, trusting myself at my intuition. Because I think it's all about trust, and something that a lot of people need to relearn to just trust themselves and putting their own intuition ahead of the external opinions of a lot of people that don't know the situation.
And this is one of the reasons why I really like the review process that you've run through, because surely that helped validate as well, you know, a lot of the intuition that you're just speaking about, right? Like the benefit of hindsight is always 20/20, and being able to look back through that review process and I guess validate the good and the bad and being able to kind of connect that to how you were feeling at the time and hopefully being able to get a lot of confidence out of the fact that you were in control for a lot of that period of time, and you were right with your gut feel and these sort of things. So that's one of the reasons why when I'm listening to you guys, but now I want to go back with this framework in mind to do the same thing.
So maybe this is a good time to just sum up the session for today.
I think so.
Right. Well, it has been great to talk to you guys again. We will, of course, start up the Mental Manager interviews this year. And in the next episode, then we will discuss how it has been so far to follow either goals or our updated systems. And this year it will end. I mean, the next episode, that will also kick off a new and way more experimental approach to the Mental Manager, where we will try new ideas that can change our lives, but also ideas that are reversible again if they don't work out. It's very important to just start them. The ideas or concepts that we will try, they will all be within either family life, having a clear mind, or a healthy body. So it can be meditations, it can be exercise, it can be sleep related, raising kids, you name it. So we will use the time to test it. The listeners will get all the learnings from that. So we want to stress test quotes, advices, habits, all about what we read and hear about on our own lives. So by listening, you will avoid some of the errors and apply what you find useful to your own life. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm super excited about it. And I can't wait to try it out, all the different stuff that we'll hear and read about that can change our lives. So with that, thank you for listening and looking forward to tuning in again.
Thank you, Martin. And thank you, Andrew. Can't wait to get the experiments going.
Yes, me too.
Thanks, guys. It's going to be a great year.